We're going to continue on this week in our study with the book of Jonah. Last week we considered together the call that God had given to Jonah. We considered four very simple points. First of all, the preliminaries of his calling, how that he was a man who was called of God. And that is what made him a prophet. That is what made him someone who was able to deliver the word of the Lord, because he was given a call by God himself. Then we also realized the attitude that was expected. God expected Jonah as a prophet to have a willingness and to have an obedient heart. And he must have been willing to go and to spread the word that God would have given him. Then we realized together the place that he was called. We remembered how he was told to go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it because its wickedness was so great. Then we considered thirdly the purpose of his calling, how that God gave Jonah a method. And that method was the proclamation of the word of God. He was to go and he was to cry against that city. Then we realized the message that God gave him. What was the message? Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. Now, not every believer is going to be given a call just like Jonah. We also considered as well the person who was called. That Jonah himself was a man who had a patriot's heart. But he had been overcome by his patriotism, and that had led him to have a disdain against the Ninevites, and he did not want to go to them. Now, not every believer is going to be given a call like Jonah. Not all of us are given a call to go to a foreign land and to minister the word of the Lord. But every believer has been given a call by Jesus Christ. That call is found in Matthew chapter 16 in the verse 24, where the Lord Jesus Christ says, "If any man is going to come after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me." We're to take up the cross, we're to deny our own selves, and we're to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And that explanation is very clear. We are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and be in complete obedience to him. The Christian life is a life where we have been called to complete surrender and to total obedience to our new King, Jesus Christ. It is a life where we have surrendered the reins. We have given complete control to him, and we follow at his every command. See, some believe today that it is not necessary that you have to live an obedient life in order to truly be saved. They think that really to be saved is just to have your sins forgiven. And they forget that to be saved is to have a renewed heart and a renewed soul. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 6 and 46, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" You see, the Lord Jesus taught that if we are to truly follow him, and if we are to be truly converted, then we must live an obedient life to his commands. Now, we must avoid some errors when we think about obedience. First of all, we must avoid the error of thinking that we can justify ourselves through our obedience. We cannot justify ourselves or contribute anything to our salvation through our obedience. We cannot save ourselves by works. But the person who is truly saved, the person who has been truly converted, will display works. It's not that they have to do works, it's that they will do works. Such is the sign of a converted heart and a changed life. But then secondly, we must avoid the error of thinking that we have to obey by force or by constraint or by mere duty. We don't serve the Lord out of mere duty. We do not serve the Lord by constraint or by force. Rather, what Christ has said is this: if ye love me, keep my commandments. Somebody who has been converted and changed will be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, not drudgingly, not despairingly, not half-heartedly. They will do it out of a heart of love, because they love their master and they want to serve him. And so all of us have been given a call. A call not in every regard like to Jonah's, but a call nonetheless to live a life of continual obedience to God. And so you would think Jonah would have known this. You would think that a prophet of God who had obeyed God in the past and had went to kings and had went to his nation and given the words of prophecy from the Lord, you would think that Jonah would know this. And yet what we find today in verse number 3 is a runaway prophet. We find a man doing completely the opposite to what God had called him to do. We find a prophet not willingly and not obediently following the commands of his Savior, but rather a prophet who reluctantly and who unwillingly had turned and went the opposite way. I want us to consider three very simple things today concerning the disobedience of Jonah. The first thing we're going to look at is the cause of his disobedience. The cause of his disobedience. Then secondly, we're going to consider the consequence of his disobedience. And then thirdly, we're going to consider the conversation about his disobedience. So look at me first of all here in verse number 3. I want you to see the cause of his disobedience. Jonah had obeyed, as was said, God's commands before. He knew that as a prophet, he was required to obey the Lord and deliver the message that God had given to him. But what caused him to disobey this time? What made this instance of delivering a word to a people and to a nation different than that of before? Well, I want you to see two very simple things that I believe caused Jonah to become disobedient. The first one is, we see it as a sinful attitude. Jonah's obedience rose out of a heart that had a sinful attitude. Now, we talked last week about the city of Nineveh. And we discussed together how that God had called Jonah to go to a great and a wicked city. And how, like Sodom and Gomorrah, their wickedness had risen up before God. Out of all the other cities at that time, their wickedness and their sin stood out before God. They were also the enemies of Israel. This was a place that would not, in Jonah's eyes and in Jonah's mind, have received the message of repentance very well. And so Jonah is going to a place of Nineveh, and he realizes it is a dangerous place, and so he doesn't want to go. But in chapter number 4, in the verse number 1 and 2, I believe it is revealed to us even further here. And I believe what we find is here the real reason, and the true reason, and the greatest reason why Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. First of all, there in chapter number 4, in the verse number 1, but it pleased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. He prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? He's referring back to a conversation he had with the Lord when he was still in the land of Israel. Therefore I fled on to Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, and slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to live or to die than to live. What does this reveal to us here? Especially verse number 2. Jonah, even before he left to go to Nineveh, or before he left to go to Tarshish, he had a conversation with God, and he knew that God was going to be merciful to the Ninevites. He knew that God was going to deliver them. He knew that if he went and preached the message of repentance and they repented, that God, out of his kindness and out of his grace, would receive that people and bring them to himself. And Jonah didn't want it. Jonah did not want to see these people converted. Not much of a prophet. Not much of an evangelist who would think of a place and he would be told of God to go, but he wouldn't want to go because he doesn't want to see people saved. To Jonah, they were the enemies of Israel. To Jonah, they were nothing but Gentile dogs. And within Jonah's heart, there was a sinful attitude. An attitude of religious and racial disdain for the Ninevites. He hated them because they were Gentiles. He hated them because they were pagans who served other gods. He hated them because they were the continual oppressors of the nation of Israel. And in Jonah's heart, that heart of patriotism, that heart of a right nationalism in a way, it's good to love your country, it's good to want to defend your own, but this nationalism, this patriotism had become a stumbling block to him in going out to evangelize. These political and ethnic prejudices had kept him back from ministering the gospel. And we must be careful of that within our own soul. We live in a day when politics has become so polarized and divided. We live in a day when it seems to be every issue has become a hot button issue. And oftentimes these issues divide nations and divide peoples. And sometimes that's needful. Sometimes nations are going to have disagreements. That's the way life and politics and just basic living works. But we must never let our political agenda, we must never let our patriotism become a stumbling block to us to go to other lands and other people and other nations and reach them from the gospel of Christ. Oh, how awful it would be, not just for Jonah, but for the entire nation of Israel, not to fulfill God's command in going out and to declare the message of the gospel to those in the surrounding nations. You see, it has always been in the heartbeat of God to evangelize. Right from whenever God gave that promise to Abraham that in his seed all the families of the earth will be blessed. Not just the Jews, not just the Israelites, but all the families of the earth would be blessed by the coming of Christ and would be blessed through the gospel. It was always God's intention for every nation to have the gospel. But what had Israel done? They had become spiritually like Jonah. They had become so against these other nations that they did not want to evangelize. We must be careful not to let these prejudices become a barrier to our evangelism. Even as we think about Canada and how there's so many ethnicities and cultures mixed into one, and oftentimes there can be a conflict even and a struggle even with that. But the church ought to be different. Whenever you come through those doors, we are one in Christ, of one body, of one mind, of one spirit. We're not to treat people any different or a lower class within the church because of their ethnicity or because of the nation or country they come from. Rather, we're to see every soul as a mission field. We're to look at every individual and see them as a person that needs the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder, are our hearts being hardened? I wonder, are we today like Jonah? As the Spirit of God works through our heart, is there a reluctance to go and evangelize a certain people whom we don't like or whom we have a disdain for? Dr. W.D. Sangster had a quote, and he said, "How shall I feel at the judgment if multitudes of missed opportunities pass before me in full review and all my excuses prove to be just disguises of my cowardice and pride?" How shall you feel when you stand at the judgment? And because of the cowardice of your heart, because of the prejudices of your heart, you feel to go and evangelize a vast multitude of people. Well, my friend, we must be careful and guard against a sinful attitude. But then the second reason that caused disobedience, I believe, in the life of Jonah was a self-orchestrated providence. A self-orchestrated providence. Look with me there in verse number 3. "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish." Look at those three words there, "found a ship." In the original Hebrew, there's an idea there of unexpectedness. There's an idea there of surprise to Jonah. He had already made this plan. "No, I can't do that. I can't go to Nineveh. I can't go to those people. I'm going to go to Tarshish." Tarshish, by the way, was the very eastern side of the known world at that time. It was the exact opposite way to that of Nineveh, which was in the west of Israel. And he goes down, and lo and behold, an idea of unexpectedness, this surprise, he had planned to go to Tarshish, and there's a ship. There's a ship by the seemingly providence of God that was taking this man to Tarshish. You know, Jonah could very well, I believe, have said, "Well, look at the providence of God. God knew I couldn't have went to Nineveh. God knew that I could never have went to such a wicked and a sinful people. God knew I could never have went to the enemies of Israel. And I had planned to go to Tarshish. I had planned to go the opposite way. And look, God has provided a way for me to go to Tarshish. This is now the will of God. This is now the way that I should go." You know, people do this even today. when God perhaps has told them to do something, when God has perhaps has guided them in a particular way or to do a particular thing, they self-orchestrate another opportunity, another seeming providence to get a way out. You know, W. Banks said, whenever a person decides to run from the Lord, the devil always provides transport facilities. Whenever a person decides to run from the Lord, the devil always provides transport facilities. But why can we say this? How can we say that this boat that was to go to Tarshish, that Jonah happened to light upon, how do we know that it wasn't from the Lord? How do we know that God hadn't just given him a way out? How do we know this wasn't a divine providence? And the answer is very simple. Because this thing that seemed to be a providence from God, this thing, this opportunity, contradicted God's word. It contradicted God's word. God had told Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh. That was what he was commanded to do by the word of the Lord. And our chief guide in life must always be God's word. And from God's word, we test all what seem to be providences and open doors and opportunities. Sinclair Ferguson put it this way, do not be guided by providences when you refuse to be guided by the word. Do not be guided by providences when you refuse to be guided by the word. Jonah had went down. How many of us would say, if we were in Jonah's position, well, the Lord obviously wants me now to go to Tarshish. Here's a ship. What are the chances of that? A ship going in the very place where I wanted to go, that's taking me in the opposite direction. Surely this is now the will of God. And yet we must always be guided by the word of God. We must always be conforming our lives to his word. And then once we know what God has directed us to do through his word, then we can look to these opportunities and open doors and divine providences. But it is only through the word that we can correctly interpret all of these things. Jonah perhaps thought his boat or his ship was from the Lord. And actually his ship was from the devil. And my friend, you could be going through life ignoring God's word. You could be self-orchestrating all these open doors and all of these providences to happen. And yet, my friend, they perhaps could not be from the Lord. They perhaps are in contradiction to what God wants you to do in God's word. You see, whenever we are looking to do something that we want to do, we will always find a ship. We will always find a ship. Spurgeon said concerning a young classmate of his who had a terrible temper. He said the young classmate, he used to break out in these fits of anger. And whenever he broke out in these fits of anger, he always found something to throw. He said no matter where he was, he always found something to throw. And my friend, whenever you're outside of the will of God, and you're going against the grain of God, and you're going against what God wants you to do for his life, you'll always find another ship. You'll always find another way to go. You'll always be able to convince yourself into doing something that God has not commanded you to do. People have done this to their own jeopardy. People have done this to the demise of their spiritual lives. Why? Because they heed these apparent opportunities instead of looking first to the word of God. Look first to the word. And then you will be able to see the doors and the opportunities that God has given for you. But notice as well why Jonah wanted on this ship. Note verse number 3. But Jonah rose up to flee onto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Then the latter part of that verse, to go with them onto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now what does this mean? How did Jonah, a prophet of God, did he not know that God was omnipresent? Did he not know that God's Spirit was going to be everywhere? Did he not know that he could not escape from the presence of God? Let's read together Psalm 139. Psalm 139. This is what the psalmist had to say. David understood this. You cannot run from God. Psalm 139, the verse number 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Did Jonah not realize this? Whither shall I flee from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Jonah thought to himself, well, I'm going to go to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. I believe he did know this. I believe he knew he could not get away from the omnipresent God. So what does this mean then? Well, I believe, as some of the commentators put it, that Jonah was fleeing from what they call God's felt presence. He was fleeing from God's felt presence. He was fleeing from the places and the things that God uses as means for convicting his people, for calling his people to obedience, and for guiding his people. He was fleeing from the tabernacle, from the temple. He was fleeing from the place of prayer. He was fleeing from the place of God's word among the school of the prophets. He was fleeing away from the place that he was called to go. Jonah was running away from anything that God and his spirit could use to convict him and to prick his heart into reminding him that he was being disobedient. Let me give you an illustration that perhaps will help. Perhaps the unbeliever or even the Christian, their conscience is being pricked through the preaching of God's word at the meetings. What do they normally do, or what do they sometimes do? They run from the church. They leave the church. They don't want their conscience being pricked. They don't want to be reminded that what they're doing is sin, and what they're doing is not right, and they're disobedient in the eyes of God. And so they run away from the place where God is, and where God puts his special presence. They run away from the church. They run away from the place they will feel God's presence, hear God's word, and be in the quietness of prayer. This is what Jonah was doing. He knew he could not escape the presence of God, but he wanted away from the felt presence of God, from the things that were going to convict him, to remind him that he was not being obedient. You can't run from God. Jonah would soon find this out. You can try and run away from the means and the ordinances that God has given to his church in order to produce holiness and obedience within our hearts. But you cannot run away from the workings of God. You cannot run away from his mighty acts. Jonah had tried, but he could not do this. You see, my friend, I wonder, are you running away from the Lord? I wonder, is the Lord putting his finger upon something in your heart, in your life, and you don't like it? I wonder, is he placing the spotlight upon an area of your life where you are not being obedient to him, and you're squirming back from it, and so you withdraw yourself from that feeling of God's conviction, that feeling of God's presence? You don't really want to be under the word. You don't really want to be in the quietness of prayer. You don't want to be among the church where you know God's presence will be. Let me remind you, friend, you can't run from God. You cannot run from God. The only way to try and avoid God is to try and avoid your sin. One commentator said that the way of avoiding Jesus is to avoid sin. Because whenever you come to God, whenever you come to Christ, he will always deal with your sin. He will always deal with your disobedience. And we'll see this with Jonah. When Jonah came back to God, what happened? God dealt with Jonah's sin. God dealt with his disobedience, and God made him willing to go to the place of Nineveh. My friend, you do not need to run from God. If there's a weight of sin in your life and you feel that conviction of sin, you don't need to run from God. You need to run to God. The church is the very place you need to be. Under the sound of His Word is the very place you need to be. In the prayer meeting, in the quietness of prayer, is the very place you need to be. Don't run away from God in disobedience. Run to God with your disobedience, with your sin, with your shortcomings, with your feelings, and cry to Him for help and grace. Just as we close this final verse here in verse number 3, I want to highlight just one phrase before we step out of this verse, and this, that phrase where it says, "And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof." I don't really want to make much of this, but I do want to highlight just briefly. There is always a fare to be paid. There is always a price to be paid for disobedience to God. There's always a cost for disobedience. Disobedience cost Adam the Garden of Eden. Disobedience cost David his only or his son. Disobedience cost Judas his soul. My friend, is the Lord pressing your heart this morning to obey, to be obedient, to do something? Is the Lord in His Word and through His Word wanting you to be more conformed to Him and to obey something that He has laid out in the precepts of Scripture, and you have revolted, you have rebelled, you have not been obedient? My friend, there's going to be a cost. There's going to be a cost to your disobedience. There's going to be a cost to turning away from the Lord. Jonah paid the fare thereof. And although we do not know, perhaps he had to pay a fare to go to Nineveh. But perhaps God, by His providence, may have paid the fare for him. My friend, there was a fare. And there was a price to be paid. Oh, what a cost to pay for being outside the will of God. What an awful cost to pay. Not to be able to say, I am doing and I am living exactly where the Lord wants me to be. I am in the place where God will use me. Even if God had called Jonah to go to Nineveh, and he had got on a boat to go to Nineveh, and that boat had crashed, and he still had ended up in the whale of the belly, at least Jonah could have said, I'm in the will of God. But here he is, as we'll come to see, he's in the midst of a storm. He's going to end up in the belly of a whale. And he's outside the will of God. Outside of God's divine protection. Outside of God's responsible care over him. My friend, don't turn away from what the Lord is putting in your heart to do. Be obedient to Him. Don't reject His call. Don't reject what He has told us to do through His Word. But my friend, come to Him. Be obedient to Him, or you will truly pay the fare thereof. Now, I do not believe we're going to get through the latter 2 points, and so I want to leave it there for now, and we'll come back to it later. It took me longer than what I thought. But just in closing, thinking about here again the cause of Jonah's disobedience. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them onto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. There is, I believe, no sadder story than a man who had been previously used of God to deliver the voice of God to a nation and to a king, now becoming a man who was running away. Running away from his duty of evangelism. Running away from his duty as a prophet. Running away from the responsibility and the call that God had laid upon his shoulders. No matter the difficulty that he would have faced in Nineveh, in his mind. No matter the fear that had gripped his heart. It was always better for Jonah to obey. And my friend, you could be placed in a situation where to obey the Lord will mean that you lose out. To obey the Lord just looks like madness. It looks like foolishness. But my friend, it is always to be better to obey the Lord and to sacrifice knowing that you're in the very center of God's will than to have to pay the fare thereof and to sacrifice outside of God's will. That's really the choice today. Will you be obedient to the trials and tribulations that God has called you to, and sacrifice and obey His will? Or will you go against them outside of His will and pay that fare? My friend, what will it be today? I trust that you'll go through with God your vows to pay, your life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to thee God's very best.